We had a very good morning. It's a blessing to see you tonight. Let's pray quickly. Lord, we ask your blessings upon this night, this time. May you be glorified and honored. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here, and I pray your blessings upon them. May your peace be with us. May you again be glorified. Amen. Well, tonight I want to talk a little bit just about our culture, our country, and obviously the very disturbing trajectory that it's on. So the first part, it's going to be a simple message, but the first part, kind of what we're up against. And the second part, as Christians, what should be our response? What should we do? How should we think about all this that we're seeing, all these weird things? And how should we live? But I've titled the message, Stand Firm. And I've got my old duct tape Bible that I've had forever and brought that tonight. But in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm or be steadfast, unmovable. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And then the Apostle Paul again in 2 Thessalonians, he says, so then, brothers, stand firm. Hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Now, that's a good exhortation. And I tell you, we're going to need that kind of resolve, I think, in the days ahead to stand. Let's admit it. We know it. Things have just gotten weird in America. They have. They're bizarre. I was thinking just this morning, here in Springfield, the Capitol, the Rotunda, there's that satanic holiday display. Remember that? Shocks me that we'd allow that. And Josh was telling me here recently, there's this bakery. What's it called?
Buns.
Yeah. Just sad. I was talking to a young lady the other day at ISU, and she's been on my mind a lot, praying for her, but let me describe her to you. She's a student at ISU. Her hair was dyed jet black. Everything she was wearing was black. Her lipstick was black. She had this big dog collar around her neck. Believe it or not, she had a Barbie doll leg broken off, and it was dangling as an earring, and it had red like blood on it. And she had contacts in her eyes, and I'm looking at this girl, reasoning with her, trying to give her the gospel, but she had some kind of contacts in her eyes where you couldn't see her eyes. It was like no eyes. But very, very strange. And this girl went to class dressed like that. Mariah and I were out the other night, saw a guy wearing dress. It's just bizarre. But it would be a totally appropriate response for us with the things we're seeing to be really, really concerned, really saddened, really grieved, and repulsed. We're living in a nation that's in chaos. And it seems like things are spinning out of control, and the wheels are just coming off. You've got political strife, division, polarization that's not been seen here since the Civil War. You've got cities in just lawlessness, social upheaval. I mean, think of Seattle and Chicago and Portland not too long ago. It was just lawlessness. It was rioting, looting. The authorities had lost control. We're seeing unprecedented moral decay and decline in this nation. We're seeing evil like we've never seen it before here in America. Listen to this. The crime rate is way up. Violence has increased. The murder rate's up. There's open sexual immorality and deviancy. Rampant, pervasive pornography, the infanticide of babies, euthanasia, the fentanyl crisis, this drug epidemic. You've got children taking hormone blockers, mutilating themselves. Well, actually, doctors are agreeing to do the surgeries. You have men using women's restrooms. And I'll be honest with you, years ago, right there in that pulpit, I was preaching, and a guy I knew in California had said, men are starting to use women's restrooms, or it's going to happen. And I didn't say it up there. I was talking about something similar to what I'm kind of talking about tonight, but I thought, you're not going to believe it. So I really hesitated, and I didn't say it, but here it's happened. You've got suicide off the charts. What are we seeing? What's going on? We're seeing the judgment of God upon a nation. We're seeing what happens when the church loses her voice and is not the influence that it should be and doesn't have the authority, the voice that it should have in a nation. And we're seeing the secularization of a country, of a nation. And I make no apologies for what I'm about to say. And those in the politically correct crowd and leftists, they would think I'm nuts. You guys would say probably amen because you haven't lost your mind. But the more Christian a culture is, the better it is. Isn't that just so simple? The more Christian the culture is, the better the culture is. The more civil, the more peaceful, the more orderly, and obviously the more pleasing to God that culture will be. And as Christian influence decreases and it wanes, there's a vacuum and certain things just come in. You get secular humanism, you get moral relativism, you get postmodernism, you get rank paganism. How many times are we talking to these young people, and I'm a pagan? It's like, yep, I believe you. Well, we get a government that has become more totalitarian, power-hungry, coercive. You get censorship. You get a mentality, toe the line, or else you're gonna be punished. You get wicked rulers. And we lose our God-given rights. We lose our religious liberty. And it's been going on it gradually for a long time. It happened in the public school system. In the universities, it happened long ago. They rejected Christianity, rejected Christ, rejected the Bible, rejected the Word of God, godly principles. I remember years ago going to U of I, and I wanted to just scout out the quad there, and I remember, what is that? What is that I'm hearing? Getting closer to the quad. What is that? Sex out loud. Sex out loud. I'm like, what? Well, I get up there, and there's a bunch of girls demonstrating, and they're just screaming sex out loud. They're wearing T-shirts that say that. Well, not too long after that, I was preaching there at the campus, and I thought, I need a break. I'm going to take a break. I go into the bookstore and start looking around. U of I think we have an alum at U of I here, and I'm not bashing U of I. It's just everywhere. But I go into the bookstore. You see all these books. Psychology books, sociology books, chemistry books, you name it. Books everywhere. History books. I'm looking around. Newspapers, fiction, nonfiction. Guess what I couldn't find? obviously, my point, could not find a Bible in that whole bookstore. Looking everywhere, no Bible. The book that's changed the world, best-selling book, God's Word. You can go on and on. Most debated book, talked about book. I heard somebody say it was the most shoplifted book. It's the book of all books, and you cannot find a Bible in that bookstore. But now you have universities, you have high schools, you have grade schools that are absolutely obsessed with sexual identity, transgenderism, intersectionality, if you know what that's all about, the pronoun nonsense. Some of you know that firsthand. You've got the critical race theory, which actually divides people. A lot of you know that. It pits people against one another. It's Marxist to the core. It really is. It started at Harvard Law School back in the 70s and kind of rose up, died down, and then now we see it everywhere. But it's Marxist, and it's evil. But we've never before seen so many advocates for sin, so many voices for sin. You've got Hollywood, the media, movies, music industry, the internet. You've got psychologists and sociologists, and they're not all bad. I'm not saying that. Professors, teachers, but a lot of them, politicians, endorsing all manner of immorality. And it's satanically, demonically inspired. And the only hope for our country, you know it, the only hope for America, it's Christ, and it's the gospel. And barring a revival, we're in big trouble. We are in very big trouble. There's always been a battle for truth. There's been that battle since the beginning. And we know truth doesn't change. Jesus is unchanging. We know Jesus is truth. He claimed to be truth. He is the way. He is truth. He is life. Well, when Christ and the Word of God isn't elevated, isn't exalted, truth is no longer valued. It's twisted. It becomes twisted and redefined and rejected. And you get mass delusions, you get mass dishonesty. Up becomes down becomes up, good becomes evil, evil becomes good. You get truth based on emotions and feelings, not on facts anymore. You get just human reasoning. What do you think? You know, what's your opinion? You just get preferences. There's no standard for truth. You get marriage redefined. Democracy is now being redefined. You get called a bigot if you're against a man dressing up as a gaudy drag queen, prostitute, and going to a library and hanging out with little kids. You're a bigot. You get called a racist if you're strong against crime. You're pro-police, Alex. You're sometimes called a racist. You hear this craziness. If abortion's overturned and made illegal, people are going to die. Think about that one. I've heard that. You get inconsistency. You get contradictions, hypocrisy, and just real illogical thinking. A girl was at ISU here recently. You guys are so wrong for being here. She plays this loud music every time we go and preach. You guys are so wrong for being here. I said, is it wrong to tell people they're wrong? She said, yeah. But she didn't get it. Hypocrisy. Contradiction. I like to ask the students things like, are you against killing, just killing innocent people? Well, of course I'm against killing innocent people. Oh, you're pro-life then, right? No. You're against rape, right? You think rape's bad? Yeah, oh, yeah. Why do you think that? And they might say something along the lines of, it violates this person. It's against their will. You're pro-life, right? You don't want to violate that little baby. And, you know, silence, or they get upset. It's just inconsistent. But I'm thankful for the years on the campuses and on the streets and evangelizing, because it's given me a perspective. Guys, I know you know what I'm talking about. It gives you a perspective that you wouldn't otherwise have. Romans 1 really comes to life for you. You see the truth. These guys, they're spiritually dead. They are walking around, but they are so dead. Just like I was, I know that. But you see, man really does love sin. Really does love death. And is openly defiant, Psalm 2, against the Lord, right? Why do these campuses rage against the Lord? That's who they're raging against. I try not to take it personally. I pretty much don't. I know who they're raging against. These students, these people on the streets, Planned Parenthood, they're raging against the Lord. Well, we're seeing such contrasts. It's darkness versus light. It's clashing. Whoa. Excuse me, let me move this. Darkness versus light. You get hatred for truth, but you also get hunger for truth. You get hardening, but you also you get softening. It's contrast. And maybe I shouldn't be talking so much about campuses and things like that and going out, but it's kind of on my mind and some of your minds. But a contrast. I was at a university and it blew up. It absolutely blew up. And we're not trying to be these Pelagian, just screaming and so hard. We're talking about sin, but we're talking about the love of Christ, and we're truly pointing people to Jesus, away from hell, to heaven, to Christ, loving them, telling them we're loving them, but it can blow up. And this campus blew up. Now, my point's contrast. We had this, and maybe I mentioned it here before, this professor at the university, English professor, she brought out this bullhorn, and she screamed at us for hours. I thought, she's going to get tired. She just kept going. Your hate is not welcome here. Your hate is not welcome here. And Josh, you know this, we love when there's activity like that. It draws so many people. This camp, we even had the news, St. Louis News came out and filmed, you know, what was going on. And it. But anyway, such anger in this lady. She was a lesbian English professor. But then another professor I'd talked to, tear going down his eye, and talking to him about the gospel. That really touched me, the contrast. Other night had these group of girls, Mariah, I guess you weren't there, but just around, I'd mentioned a few things about abortion, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. And this, just a group of them there, and this guy standing right here. And I think he's with these girls and trying to reason with them best he could. And this guy finally leans in. He goes, I wanted to tell you, I surrendered my life to Christ 2 weeks ago. I'm like, praise God. Contrast. Heckled at ISU by this guy. Few years later, he's standing there next to us, preaching the gospel. It's contrast. Girl boom box going, loud, upset with us. And then here comes Joel. He's got some donuts for us. Can I pray for you guys? It's just contrast. Josh, you'll relate to this. I know you have too. My life's been threatened several times at Planned Parenthood. I know yours has too. Death. And then here comes life. This lady pulls up. Because of you, I didn't kill my baby. Death and life. Guys were out the other night. I know, talking to a homosexual guy. I don't know his name, but Rob, is that, did you mention him? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And upset, I imagine, preaching at the gay bar. And then by the end of the night, he's gathered around, I believe, with you guys, tears. It's just contrast. That, but I think, guys, what we're going to see in the future, that's what we're going to see. The darkness is going to get darker. The haters are going to hate more. But the light's going to get brighter. The ungodly are going to get more unrighteous, more ungodly. But the remnant, more righteous, more salty, we might say. So I think that's what we're going to see in the days ahead. These great contrasts, ugly things and beautiful things. Well, moving on, I want to, the next phase here, just for a couple minutes. How do we engage a post-Christian culture, an anti-Christian, pretty much, culture, where any semblance of Christian ethics, morality, it's suspect. We know the family's under attack, parental rights are under attack, and it just feels like Caesar is in power, and it feels like we're just told to shut up. And the Christian, you don't have a voice in the matter. Be gone. So I think it's good to kind of process this a little bit, think about it, talk about it. It's relative whether you're all-mill, post-mill, pre-mill, whatever you think about the end times. These are some good things to think about. How do we relate and honor Christ in this very sin-sick world? I would say, number one, we remember the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign over everything. I don't know about you, but that's kind of why Marla and I are here, because this church focuses on the sovereignty of God in everything, in salvation, but not just salvation, in everything. And I think we can have some real peace there. What did Spurgeon say about what a soft pillow that is? But anyway, it's God's sovereignty that you're here right now, that you live in Springfield. I said earlier, it seems like everything's spinning out of control. But it's not. It's not spinning out of control. God has everything going just how he preordained everything. But we've got to remember that this battle for truth, it's been going on since the very beginning. And the history of the church has been a history of persecution. And we're going to be persecuted and not think that we're going to sidestep it. And we have to kind of not, I don't want it, but if it comes, we have to embrace it as it's from the hand of God. But I think we need to keep things in perspective too. I've hit these sexual sins hard, but I've mentioned abortion, but I think these are the two things that are bringing the judgment of God upon us, upon our nation. It's the sin of homosexuality, it's sexual sin and abortion. It is bringing judgment. But keeping it in perspective, it's been around for a long, long time, and it's addressed right there in the Bible. But think about this. You get the great privilege. It's the privilege to be in the battle. We live. I can't believe I'm 60. It went so fast. life goes so fast. We're going to be in eternity soon. We're going to be with the Lord. But right now, we have that privilege to battle, to defend and contend for the gospel, to be salt and light, to advance the gospel. And we have to be willing to be persecuted. Well, the Christian life, it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be full of opposition. It's supposed to be full of struggles. We are not here to live out the American dream. We gave that up when the moment we came to Christ. That's done. We die to that. We're not living for what the rest of the world is living for. We're living for Jesus. But we need to be thankful. I've been really negative. I know it. But, hey, we need to be thankful. We need to have the joy of the Lord. Guys, we understand, especially here in this church, we live in a fallen world. And the whole world is it's groaning. And it's amazing that we have the beauty that we still have. I mean, Marla and I keep talking all the time about how beautiful this fall has been. Have you noticed the leaves are just, they're just popping. I'm loving how beautiful this fall has been. And we could be living right now, it could be like this, dark out there. It could be dark just all the time and cold. We could be cold all the time. I think Pastor mentioned this once. So many things he says just stick. Our food could just be like cardboard, you know? We got to eat it, but it just, no taste. And get this, we could be in hell right now, and we're not. So we've got a whole lot to be thankful for, and we got to remember the battle belongs to the Lord. It's His to fight, and I guarantee you, you agree, you know, He's winning, He's won. No challenge there. But He doesn't need us. He really does not need us. But our battle is against flesh and blood. Is not against flesh and blood. It's not against these students, these people. It's principalities in high places. It's against the devil. But we need to know the enemy's tactics. The enemy wants to silence us, intimidate us, divide us. And He really wants to fill us with a whole bunch of fear and a whole bunch of anxiety. But let's don't go there. Let's keep our eyes fixed upon Christ. But we don't fight with fleshly weapons, spiritual weapons. We're going to conquer. We're going to win. But we conquer with love and humility and patience and enduring insults, absorbing insults, returning good for evil, turning the other cheek. And it's easy, trust me, I know, it's easy to get frustrated, you know. The battle, you get battle weary sometimes, but we need to deal with people tenderly. Sometimes kind of aggressively. Mm-hmm. We're not passive. We're going. But never, never, never harshly. We want to be like Jesus. And Jesus was kind. He was kind. He was humble. And He was happy. I know it says He was a man of sorrows, but I promise you, Jesus was joyful. And we need to be joyful. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Marla brought this up to me a while back. You want to be like Jesus? You got to be joyful, right? You guys want to be like Jesus? We need to be joyful. We need to be humble. We really need to be humble. It's easy to forget what we were like. It's easy to forget what we would be if Christ hadn't saved us. I'd hate to see. Well, it might be kind of interesting. What would I have done? How bad would I have gotten had you not saved me? A few more points here. and we'll be done. But I love something Steve said today. With Jesus on the cross, he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I kind of want that attitude. I know these people, they're without excuse. I know they've got a conscience that they're hardening and all these things. But there's a sense that they know not what they do. A lot of young people, they have literally grown up just in the cesspool. And you've heard this, does a fish know it's wet? I thought this, does a fish know it's swimming in the sewer? They don't realize it a lot of times. Their families have encouraged them in sin and drugs and sexual immorality. And friends have said it's okay. The professors say it's okay. The culture says these things are okay. There's nothing wrong with smoking weed and this and that. So I feel for them. I feel for these people. And I pity them. And I really want them to be saved. But back on us a little bit. Guys, nominal, lukewarm, cultural, casual Christianity, it is not going to cut it in the days ahead. It's not going to cut it for salvation either. Lukewarm, spit out, right? So let's don't be that. We got to look differently. We got to act differently, think differently, talk differently, dress differently. We got to not try to be cool and all these kind of things that so many Christians, they think that's how you get people in to be Christians. No, we got to stop worrying about the world, what the world thinks, and we just give them the truth. Real quick here, we got to walk in holiness. Men, no zip, no pornography. None. No excuses for that. As a man of God, not a bit, not any of it. I told you in the men's thing, it's like injecting poison into your mind. Husbands, wives, you got to cherish one another. We're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let's don't ruin our minds by looking at this filth that God hates. Well, we've got to devote ourselves to prayer, to fasting, to scripture reading. We gotta pray. We gotta seek the Lord. We gotta train up our children, and we gotta see each other as we're brothers and sisters, and we gotta stick together. We gotta really truly love one another. I love the fact I hear some things going on. I know some of you guys, you meet together in your homes and you're close, and you pray together, you eat together. That's what we need. We're the family. We're the family of God, and we're going to need to really be there for one another, I think, maybe in some hard days ahead. Well, let's don't give up. Don't fall into that trap of despair, negativity. Again, I've said a lot of negative things, but it is what it is. But we've got the joy of the Lord. We've got heaven waiting for us to be with Christ forever. He's going to make every wrong right. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. I'm sorry, I was kind of an angry young man. I was a little vengeful, I admit it. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He took that sword right out of my hand. I don't have to do it anymore. I don't have to. He's going to deal with people. I don't have to. Well, I'll end with this. I really think there might be a third great awakening. I'm serious. I really think there might. I can't believe how many men are going out preaching the gospel. And I'm talking about godly men with good sound doctrine all over the place. I hadn't 20 years ago, 15 years ago. It's everywhere. We've got guys right here. I'm looking at two, three, another. They go out and preach the gospel. And we could have a third great awakening. I really think we could have revival. Or maybe the Lord is just judgment. I gave you the truth. I gave it to you. Here, 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 here. And you ignored it. You hardened yourself. It could be that. But I think we might possibly have a revival. So let's hope for that. Here's what Jesus said. all authority. All authority, power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's really good. He's all powerful. He's going to be with us to the end of the age. We're on the right side. The Holy Trinity, not just Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, is with us. Well, let's pray. Let's thank the Lord. Lord, you are so good to your people. Encourage us. Keep us from despair. If there's anyone here tonight that's in that kind of despair, depression, Lord, bless them. Encourage them. Lord, help us all to look to you. Look to our heavenly home, to love you, to love our families, to love the lost. Help us to be joyful in these dark times. Help us to be salt and light in your holy name. Amen.